He couldn't fathom that it was possible I was right. And then I was right. And he sent me an email, and then I called him and we talked, and he said to me, would it be useful if I took some of my students and we went through and just did a complete survey of all the HUD and DOD financials from 1998 to 2015? And I said, absolutely. You know, it would be an enormous service, because it was, you know, after 20 years of trying to educate people about this issue, I confess I was tired, you know. So this was like the cavalry. Anyway, so the cavalry came, and what was so fascinating was I had the number up to 12 trillion, but he and his students went through and we put up a website where we put every agency and every year from 1998 to 2015 and put up every document for every year. And it was really interesting because I had it up to 12 trillion and he and his students kept finding more. And he got it up to 18 trillion, and then he wrote a report, and then he kept calling me. He said, you're not going to believe this. We found another trillion. We found another trillion. We found another. Well, then they added another 3 trillion, and it was up to 21 trillion. And here's why that's a very magical number, Sarah. 21 trillion is 1 trillion more than the entire national debt.
That's fantastic. Okay. It's so amazing. Go ahead.
So let me just show you how this works. We have $1 trillion in the pension funds. Okay, people all over the country have worked their entire life and saved this money. The pension funds buy $1 trillion of U.S. treasuries, right? So now the Treasury Department has $1 trillion, and the pension funds have IOUs from the American people, right? So now the pension fund beneficiaries basically own IOUs from themselves as taxpayers, right? Okay. The Treasury takes that money and basically disappears it down this black hole that it seems to disappear down. Okay. So what we've just used is we've used the U.S. government to launder $1 trillion of our savings someplace to steal it. And the reason they can steal it is because they gave us an IOU from ourselves that is no longer backed by that $1 trillion of assets that has been disappeared. Do you see?
It's a fraudulent move that they are claiming. Now, how do we get people to understand that this is happening in a mass sort of way, or the 5 to 10%, which is what we really need to get to?
Right. You really have to focus on the 5 to 10%. So let me just finish telling you about Dr. Skidmore. So it was very important when the number went over 21 trillion and you were hearing more and more about the pension fund crisis, people in the financial market started to say, oh my God, this is real. But so Skidmore wrote the report. I had told Dr. Skidmore that I did not want him to publish his report until we had all the documents downloaded and independently up on the server and his study linking to them on our server, so that you could get them even if they took them down. And it was really funny because Dr. Skidmore is a very serious, very professional scholar and economist. And when I suggested to him that DOD might do something wiggly like that, he, you know, you could tell he kind of thought I was a little paranoid. And sure enough, he published his study. It rocketed around the internet, and DOD took Department of Defense Inspector General and HUD Inspector General took their audits offline.
Well, and so you were right. Now, did it wake them up a little bit? See, people almost have to experience it themselves before they're like, oh my gosh, this is real.
I wouldn't say that it woke him up because he's a very awake person.
Sure, sure.
But I would say it touched him deeply. It touched him deeply because it was such a cheap trick.
Well, and that's not what I mean by waking up. It's like it like you're saying, it touches you deeply. When it really happens, you're like, because you have a little bit of cognitive dissonance. This is our country. You feel safe here. You don't think people are going to attack you on something like that.
Right, Right. Well, here's what was funny. So then it turned out, since we had them all up on our website, in a couple of interviews, Dr. Skidmore pointed out that we, even though DoD had taken them down, it wasn't a problem, we had them up and pointed out that they had taken them down, at which point they emailed him and said, "Oh, we didn't take them down. We're just reorganizing the website and they're up on different URLs." And of course, my team had to spend 3 days going and getting all the new URLs and putting those links up. But, and I think what happened is somebody screamed at them and, they got them back up. And but it was just a really cheap trick. And I think it touched him deeply and made him realize, oh, this is not just an accounting problem. If it was just an accounting problem, that wouldn't, there's something here. Whatever is here, there's something here, and this is a real problem.
Well, that's a it's a great story. It's not a great story, but it's a great story because it's those kinds of things that we need to get out there and penetrate in our 5 and 10%. And do you think that we are making a big dent with that 5 and 10%? How many do you think are starting to say, okay, this is
Here's the thing. I think we're making a big dent in terms of them realizing that it's time. It's funny. I was listening to one of my favorite authors last night, Andrew Vax, and he had a great line where he says, "Stand up or stand aside." They're kind of feeling it, stand up or stand aside. What they're missing is what we were talking about before we started to record, which is they're missing a framework that helps them understand what's happening despite all the uncertainty and how to go about doing something about it. Because, you and I, it's easy for you and I to give them a framework or talk about a framework, but how each one of us goes at it is different. We each have to start with where we are. We have to start with the different family and institutional relationships we have, and in the state and local area where we are, and we have to take action in a way that is most efficient and energizing for each one of us. So part of this is we each have to invent our own pathway. Now, what I tell everybody is, do not worry that you can't do everything. If every one of us does what we can do individually, a mighty army arises.
Yeah, that kind of gave me the
So,
chills because that is the key. That 5 to 10%
right.
we can make a huge difference.
Right. Now, let me give you a couple suggestions of what's really important to do. The first thing that's really important is you got to turn off the corporate media. So, if they're listening to the show, they already know that. But the corporate media comes with heavy brainwashing, heavy entrainment, and subliminal programming. One of the best interviews at the Salary Report is my interview on entrainment technology and subliminal programming. TruStream Media has done some great work on sort of mind control, and they're coming out with a new documentary on mind control technology. Our third quarter wrap up was called Control 101 and goes into all the control technology. And if you look at the sort of the technology they've developed in the last 20 years to really control people with very powerful technology. This stuff is very dangerous. We write a lot about it on the Solera Report, how it's used to get people addicted to pornography, how it's used to get people addicted to gambling, how it's used to, get people to do things that create control files on them, on and on and on. So the first thing you want to do is turn off the corporate media and educate yourself as to how the control technology works. There are lots of great resources at Solari and on the internet to do that. So that's number one. Number two, for heaven's sakes, I call it come clean. The number one financial drain on people is bad health. And right now we're watching an incredible deterioration in terms of the environment, in terms of the quality of food. I always say, turn off your TV, eat fresh food. And so each one of us has got to make sure that our minds and our bodies are clean from the incredible pollution that is filling up the water and the oxygen and the food. And there's a lot you can do to make sure, we have a great article at Solari called Coming Clean, and I would recommend you read it. So, That's the second thing. The third thing I would say is this is a spiritual war. And you really, I think everybody needs to have a way of understanding and dealing with the spiritual world and engaging in spiritual warfare that works for them. So I'm not led to minister to you about what your spiritual practice should be. I'm a Christian, so I can talk about it in Christian terminology, but I really think we're dealing with spiritual forces and spiritual phenomena, and we have to be able to deal with it that way. It's really funny because my little team here at Solari, one of the things we know is we're engaging in spiritual warfare, and it translates in ways that are invisible and also in material, but it's real. So you have to be able to do that. And do that in a way where you feel encouraged to engage in it and come out the other end victorious, not let it get you down.
Well, and I can
One of
feel
my
it.
favorite.
I can feel it too, I think. I think,
Really?
yeah, I
Yeah.
can, you know, it keeps you going and you feel it. Like, this is what I'm meant to do and I feel it. But keep
Right.
going.
Okay, so, and then the last thing is you've got to shift the money. And the most important thing is, your time and money is precious. Get out of your wallet, get out of your relationships, get out of your time. Anybody, whether an individual or institution that doesn't have integrity, you do not have enough time to do business with banks that don't have integrity. Find a good local community bank or credit union that has real integrity and get your accounts in there. Shift your money. I'm an investment advisor. I do screens. And that's because I got sick of having to deal with portfolios where, the most putrid people in the world were, those companies were in those portfolios. And I just said, I'm sick of it. And I've shifted my business to doing screens. So, but clean up your money and get dirty people out of your wallet. And to me, it always starts with getting a really great bank that you can trust. But it's true for everything. I always tell all my subscribers, the first thing you need to do is sit down and do a budget of your time and look at your time and say to yourself, what is draining my time or money? And how do I cut it out? So, for example, if you're spending 10 hours a week watching television, cut out 8 hours. That's 8 hours you can organize with some of your friends or neighbors and go find a great bank together. If you have five neighbors and you call up all the banks in town and say, we want a presentation, we're thinking of moving our money to you, you're going to have a fairly entertaining afternoon because they're going to pull out the stops for you. So go through your time budget, find that time and use that time to shift to getting the dirty people out of your lives, and use that time to learn how to get the right people into your life, but advantage yourself. So another one is health. There is so much that I see financially, people getting drained because they're wasting an enormous amount of time and money dealing with the traditional health system, where if they took that time and they learned about natural things that they could do themselves, they could totally turn around their health. But it's going to take an investment of time, but in the long run, they'll be much healthier and much wealthier. So each person is different, and that's why you've got to sit down and look, at your time budget and your money budget. But what you want to do is get anything that doesn't have integrity out of your money and out of your life and start to replace it with institutions and people that have integrity.
That's excellent.
And it makes, I call it, it works. I'll never forget in 1998, I was writing a check on JP Morgan Chase Private Banking and I froze and I said, why am I banking at the bank that's doing the housing bubble? And I said, I've got to come clean. And it took me 2 years to get my businesses and myself out of the big banks. And Sarah, words cannot describe how much more pleasant my life is because I have a great, I have great bankers that I trust. And, I woke up in 1998 filled with dirty bankers who were doing me wrong.
Yeah, I hear you. I was
You know all about that,
I do,
right?
unfortunately, wrecked my business. Well, let's get into the censorship that's going on. As you know, I just interviewed Richie Allen, and his channel was shut down on YouTube. And you know, one of the things you say is get off the mass media. What do you think is going on? I mean, this is a major purge of people who are, you know, Richie Allen was so professional in the way he dealt with stuff.
Right. Well, I think, again, they want to control the narrative. And part of controlling the narrative when you can't control it is to just shut off. You know, first you try and shut people off of YouTube or Facebook that are depending on that for their revenues. But then I just talked to Jeff Rantz. His PayPal was canceled.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. So, you know, so there is a very... I've always told people I estimate I spend $100,000 a year approximately just from the additional expenses of this kind of harassment. So I'll give you a silly little story. And it always happens when we publish all of Salier Report's organized around our wrap-ups. And the wrap-ups are pretty – the pension fund is part of the annual wrap-up. So 2 years ago, we did a wrap-up on space and what's happening in space. The cover had a businessman going up to space in a rocket, and it said, "Space, here we go." And it was about the enormous push into space and investment into space. Anyway, so literally when we went to print them, mysteriously the printer shut down and they couldn't get it to work, and the printing company had to literally send it back and get a new printer. That took a week. And so the person who was having them printed sent me 50 by special courier because we were so late at getting them out. He sends 50 and they never come. 19 days later, they end up back in California and the box only has 16. 34 are gone.
Jeez.
And he called me and I said, "They wanted hard copy. What can I tell you?" Yeah, but it's constant. It happens. You know, we used to, we've changed because we do a lot more electronically, but we used to have one in every 20 mailings disappear. You know, we had to put a tracking on everything. So, but it was, you know, it's very expensive, Sarah, to tell the truth. I'm sure you know. It's expensive to tell the truth. And, but the reality is there's a market for the truth. And so it's just part of doing business.
There
you know,
is a
all
market.
Great businesses, right. There is a market. All great businesses require dealing with things that are hard. And the Salieri team is that we are masters at dealing with this. I mean, and you just can't believe what we laugh at because the whole goal of the exercise, I call it shadow work. The goal of the shadow work is to bury you back into a state of hopelessness. So part of spiritual warfare is saying, no matter what happens, I know there's a pathway. It's not hopeless. Now, what they've been trying to do, whether it's, you know, what they're trying to do is control the narrative. And that's a matter of making it very, very difficult and expensive for people to get the truth out. And what you're trying to do is make them look. Did you ever see the movie The Gladiator?
Yes.
Okay. So the emperor in the end, he can't defeat the gladiator. So what does he do before they go into arena? He sticks him in poison so that he can defeat him because he needs to look like he's winning. Okay. CNN needs to look like it's winning. It needs to look like it's winning market share. So how do you do that? You load up expenses. You shut people off of YouTube. You make it more and more expensive and more difficult. You hack them. You shut down their websites all the time, trying to make them look less and less professional while you look better and better.
And don't you think it's backfiring, though? I mean, more and more people are learning and going, "Why? What's going on?"
Yeah, I think it's backfiring. I think it's backfiring. But I think what is important is not, the bad guys are doing bad stuff. I think what is important is the good guys need a framework by which we can collaborate and start to really shift things together. And to me, what is missing is not a perception that the bad guys are bad. I think that's common knowledge. I think what is missing is a framework by which the good guys say, okay, how can we all act each in our own unique situation and do it underneath a framework and a collaborative framework that will really start to make progress?
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with you. And having a framework where you can run instead of kind of fumble around.
Right. So now what my pitch to everyone would be, we can't change anything unless we cut off their money. Right now, if you look at the good guys, we're sweeping up our bank deposits, we're sweeping up our investments, we're sweeping up our purchases, we're sweeping up our taxes, and we're financing the bad guys. Now, every mother knows that sometimes you have to cut off a bad behaving child's allowance, right? So the time has come where we say, you know something? We're not going to finance you. We're pulling your money. We're going to walk away.
And this is the
So we're
stuff.
pulling.
Go ahead.
So we're pulling tomorrow. If everybody got up and said, the New York, because let me tell you where the $21 trillion disappeared through. It disappeared through the member, the New York Fed is the depository for the US government. A week after Mark Skidmore's report came out, there was a fire on a Saturday at the New York Fed, and the headline said that the fire was caused because the roof caught fire because somebody in the basement was using a 100-year-old fireplace. Well, I wonder why. I wonder
Yeah.
why. I
Jeez.
wonder why. The $21 trillion left through the accounts of the New York Fed member banks, JPMorgan Chase, Citibank, on Bank of New York, on and on and on. Why is anyone banking at those banks?
And this,
They've been engaged.
it's crazy. So now at Solari, you educate people on what's really going on, and then you help them create a framework so that they can do meaningful things locally and make sense of everything.
Well, what I try and do is give them the framework that says, okay, how can I stop feeding the parasite in a way that improves my? Because what I need right now, if you take everyone, every individual person, each one of us is being drained by the parasite. And what I need, what I want, is for the parasite to get weaker and you to get stronger. And that means you've got to sequence it. The reason you've got to do a whole pathway that's totally different than what I do, you've got to sequence it where every hour, every minute, every day, you are shifting energy out of the parasite back into you. So you are using your time and energy to deny the parasite food, but in a way that makes you more powerful and stronger and wealthier and healthier. Okay, that's you've got to get stronger, but you've got to get stronger in practical ways. Your physical health has to improve, your financial health has to improve, and your political power has to improve. Okay, and it's so right now a lot of us are playing ball and giving time and money to institutions that we think are going to make us more politically powerful, and they're not, they're just poaching our kids.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to look long term, right? It's not just about our immediate 2 years out. It's about our
Right.
family and our children's future.
I'll never forget. I became an investment advisor in 2007, and one of the first things that happened to me is I sat down. I'll take a series of clients and put them into one composite client. And the first thing they said to me is, I can't afford to eat fresh food. I can't afford to buy food at the farmer's market. I can't afford organic food because I need to save more money. My financial advisor has said that I need $5 to $10 million in my brokerage account, so I can't afford to eat good food. And I said, that is the most financially insane thing I have ever heard because your number one financial risk is chronic disease. And if you continue to eat the food you're eating, you have a 100% chance of getting a chronic disease. So you need to stop. She had been trained to put all of her money into financing the national security state. Okay, instead of herself. And she was going to get chronically ill. And what I told her is, look, you're going to have to save $1 billion because do you know how many services you need as a chronically ill person to live, let alone make it worth your while to live?
Exactly. Who wants to live
So,
sick?
right. So I said the first thing you've got to do is you got to save less and start, making sure you're healthy and you're not sick. The second thing was, I'm really irritated because the yields on my stocks are going down and my water bills are going up. And I said, well, wait a minute, you live in a rural area, sell your stock and build a well. And then you won't have a water bill. In other words, you're being intermediated. You need to disintermediate. You need to get the company store out of the middle here.
And rethink, you have to rethink, you're saying, this is your point, you have to rethink what an investment really is.
Right. Then the third thing was, and this was unbelievable, this is somebody who had a lot of money in their brokerage accounts. I mean, many millions. And they had a daughter who was just not that good at practical things, and a grandson who they adored. And the daughter was really scrambling to find a decent place to live. And I looked at them and I said, why don't you just buy her a house? And they said, you know, they gave me the speech about I need $10 million for my savings. And I said, wait a minute, your grandson, who they adored, is your number one asset. That is your most valuable asset, is your grandson. Unless he has a proper home, he's not safe. You know, because they're not living in a safe neighborhood and it's not healthy, you know, and if you look at the cost of a house in a low cost area, they were in a relatively low cost area, it's not going to put a dent in your fortune. What are you doing? Why are you financing multinational corporations when your grandson is literally losing his ability to be an excellent, successful person? Why would you do that? He's your number one asset and you're not, you know, you're stripping him. And she looked at me and she said, what am I doing? And I said, I don't know. I think you better get some more money out of the market and buy your daughter a house. She's like, okay, you're right.
That is a great story. Getting people to see things differently. Excellent. Yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. We have financial equity. And we have living equity. And you want to build up both, and we need both. So I can't tell you how many subscribers I meet, and they say, well, I don't want to build financial wealth because, you know, it's all a greedy sick system and I'm against it. I said, really? What are you going to send your kids to college with? You know, this is not an evil thing. It's provision in the storehouse for the winter.
Money is an evil, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yes.
Family wealth, we have allowed our capital to be centrally controlled. The problem with the pension fund system was we allowed central control of our family wealth. Okay. But family wealth is the bedrock of democracy. Family wealth is what stands behind freedom. It always has and it always will. And what we've been watching in this country is a process that's trying to strip family wealth and control family wealth and control the family money centrally by controlling the narrative centrally. And the reason that you and I are going to fight and win on an out-of-control narrative is because that's what we need if we're going to rebuild family wealth at a grassroots level.
Well, that's excellent. And how do people get subscriptions to Solari? Do they go to your website?
So they go to Solari.com. When are you publishing this interview?
Within the next day or two.
Okay. So our site got taken down on Friday, and I made a command decision, instead of bringing the site back up, that I was going to take all that time and money and bring up our new website. We've been working on a new website for a long time. We plan to have it up by Friday, but if it's not, there's a placeholder there with lots of great links. We have a lot of content up and a lot of great content up. So there's plenty for you to find at Solari.com, but sometime between Friday and early next week, you will be able to subscribe. You can subscribe. We have 30-day subscriptions, semi-annual and annual subscriptions. You can also get a subscription where you automatically get a hard copy. The wrap-ups come out in PDFs and flipbooks, so you can get digital. But if you want hard copy, you can also get the quarterly hard copy as well.
And you're going to learn things that you won't learn anywhere else. I mean, because I am always, I love listening to you talk and asking questions. This has been a really treat for me.
Well, here's what you can learn at Tulare. We want, you know, I if you go to a website like Kiplinger, you know, it's basically personal finance to help families and individuals be successful. That's what I'm interested in, but I'm interested in the real deal. So I'm not interested in personal finance pretending that we live in Disney World, because I don't know about you, but I don't live in Disney World. Do you know what I mean? I live in the real world. So what I want is anything that helps you live a free and inspired life. And I think it's extremely important. If you come in and you get the Tulare coin, though on one side is the Tulare logo, but on the other side, it's the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think it's exceptionally important that I break free of the parasite in a way that helps you break free too. So it's very important to me that I make my money by doing things that help other people and help other people be free, not make money doing, you know, because right now in America, most of us get up and go to work and make money doing something that hurts somebody else. So,
and
you know,
I think most people don't realize that they're hurting others, wouldn't you say? I mean,
many people do not realize. Many people do not realize. But now's the time to be thinking about, okay, what am I doing? You know, it's very interesting, because when I litigated with the federal government, we had 18 audits and investigations and 12 tracks of litigation, and consistently we were able to win because there would be people in the governmental process who would refuse to break the law or do something unethical. It was amazing. It was just amazing. And they just said, you know, I did not get up and go to work today to harm people by breaking the law. I'm not going to do that. And it makes all the difference. So a lot of this comes down to, in your day-to-day life, what can you do, you know, to help that 5 to 10%. One of the things I always tell people is figure out who that 5 to 10% is locally, in your city council, in your town, on your local police force, you know, your local sheriff, in the local small business community, in the chamber, in the Rotary. Just help them. You know, what are they working on? Just help them. Now, there are many, many things we can do locally, but I come back to, first, we need the framework. This, and my framework is coming clean. And first we need a framework. And then the second thing we need to do is we need to change the narrative. You know, it's not hopeless. There is a pathway, but we have to face the fact that we have a governance structure that is invisible. It doesn't have integrity, and it controls through violence. If you haven't read, I'll send you Control 101. I'll send you a copy. And I published it in the third quarter because I kept running into the fact that the average people, or sort of average Americans that I was dealing with, didn't understand that control is implemented in this country with violence. And the reason the people running things have been able to get away with this for so long is they're dangerous.
Well, and don't you think we've got to a point where we're self-censoring, and it's a multi-level issue right now.
I don't know. You know, let me take 2 seconds and talk about success. One of the things, you know, my nickname for the system is the tapeworm. One of the things the tapeworm most wanted more than anything in the world was to destroy homeschooling. They failed completely. One of the things they wanted to do was to pull in the guns. They have failed completely. You know, the more they try and pull in the guns, the more people go out and buy guns. They have tried very hard to turn men and women against each other. I'm not saying they haven't done damage, but I think in many respects they failed. They wanted Clinton to be president more than anything. I think they failed. So what you're watching right now, the Shriekometer is turned to the highest volume I've ever seen it. And I think it's turned to the highest volume I've ever seen because they have failed in too many situations. And their problem is they can't continue to control the money centrally if they can't control the narrative centrally.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, that's a very optimistic view of what's going on. And I think, you know, I've had another person tell me that when it gets like this, it's right before they lose, because it's they're scared and they're bringing everything they got onto the scene.
Well, think about this. If you were a successful businessman in your city and you had a family and three kids, how would you feel about videotapes of you engaging in pedophilia being made public?
Well, yeah, they would fight back as hard as they could.
Wouldn't you be scared to death?
I don't know if I want to put myself in a, what would I do if I actually had tapes of myself engaging in that? I don't know if I'd ever see myself. But I can imagine that you would be scared to death. Absolutely.
Well, what is happening right now in every county across America is the cash flows are shrinking. And, you know, you basically have the Bush-Clinton syndicates, whether it's drugs or pedophilia, all this stuff, those cash flows are shrinking and there's real competition for those cash flows. And everybody knows that purges are going on. They're coming out of Washington. And so you have tremendous fear and tremendous competition, and trust is breaking down in those networks. And that makes for very dangerous times and very sensitive times.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, well, that's what we're seeing.
Right. And what do we know about the Las Vegas shootings and what do we know about the Parkland school shootings? Whatever happened, unbelievably sloppy. These are some of the sloppiest false flags we have ever seen. They are really sloppy.
They are.
And what that tells me is, you know, the really capable guys are getting out as fast as they can. The A-team did not engineer Las Vegas, and the A-team did not engineer Parkland. The A-team is headed for the hills, you know. Right?
The A-team doesn't want to be part of it. That's pretty clear. The A-team didn't do it. But, you know.
Right. The A-team is.
Now, have they always been this bad, but we just didn't have the internet in an awake society?
No, when you see the A-team do something, they are really good. I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, the A-team, it's amazing how good they are.
Yeah, we don't want them around. That's scary. That's the scary team. Well, will you stick around and answer another question for my patrons?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And I love this. And it's Soleri.com. I'll have it on the video and on my show page so everybody knows where to go.
Okay, so the one last thing I want to say while we're still recording open. I end every Soleri report by saying, because Sarah, I grew up in a world where conspiracies were the operative way of life. In other words, whenever something, you know, when we wanted to take things in certain directions or you wanted to stop something, you got together, you made a plan, you kept it secret, and you just implemented it. And that's how the world worked. We thought they were deals. We called them deals and transactions. I didn't know I'd never heard the word conspiracy, and I didn't know it was a bad thing. I thought all these secret plans and deals were good things. It's called getting things done, right? So when I started to speak publicly about the crime, I heard, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And so at the end of every Soleri report, I say, don't ask whether or not there's a conspiracy. If not, you need to start one. So the way I want to end this is now you and I are in a conspiracy together. We're in cahoots, right?
We're in cahoots for sure.
And we're in cahoots and we're going to help shift things.
And the listeners who are listening are going to join us.
Right. Right. We're in cahoots. We're shifting things now because first and foremost, you got to change the narrative. And that's what we're doing. We're changing the narrative.
And I'll end it with that.